the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am your host, Tony Merkel.
And I am Brian Merkel.
And we're really glad that you're here. If you have a crazy and wild experience you want to share with us from the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. That's hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us, just get a hold of us. And if you're looking for emergency preparedness food, if you're out on the road and you're like, you know, I should really be preparing for an emergency because I get stuck in traffic a lot and I got to drive through these snowstorms because the freight needs to get to where it needs to be, you might want to look at preparewithhll.com. Preparewithhll.com. We sell emergency preparedness food. And right now, if you purchase a four-week supply of food, you will get $100 knocked off. I think that's a great deal. What do you say, Dan?
I think that's a fantastic deal. You never know when 2020 is going to happen again.
That's gonna be a hashtag t-shirt or whatever, you know.
Yes it is.
Oh my gosh, what is this, 2020? And like 2050 we're gonna say, what is this, 2020? What's going on here? It looks like 2020.
Exactly,
like this thing, partying like it's 1999.
Yeah,
what is this, 2020?
Life is falling apart like 2020.
But it's a good thing 25 years ago I got this emergency preparedness food because it lasted 25 years and I needed it right now.
That's
in
right.
2045.
Yeah, look at you going math.
I'm a truck driver, but I also could be a mathematician.
I could be a mathematician.
Just give me those numbers and we'll figure it out. Anyways, go to preparewithhll.com. Dad, what do we got this week?
Today we're talking with Shane, a young landscaping guy from Maryland, somewhere in Maryland.
Somewhere.
Anyway.
I'm sure he'll say somewhere in the interview where he told us and we forgot.
He'll remind us.
He'll remind us.
We'll probably call him by a different name and we'll probably do other stuff.
Yep.
Heads up.
Foreshadowing.
But anyway, you know what we wanted to do too is Shane does not drive a big truck. He drives a landscaping truck with a 24-foot trailer. And so just kind of putting it out there for people, this is not only for truck drivers, even though that's the primary aspect of this show, but we also want to talk to other people who do driving, who are on the road a lot, people who are EMTs, people who are police, fire, people who do landscaping, people who are spending a lot of time on the road.
Yep.
So hopefully this encourages you to call in. I'm sure you've got stories. If you spend time on the road, you've got stories.
Yeah, if you drive and you have experiences from the road, we want to hear about it on Hammer Lane Legends. And Shane's actually a musician, and he's traveled all over the country driving in it wasn't a tour bus. It's actually a pickup truck, I think he said.
Yeah,
it was like five guys in a pickup truck.
Extended cab.
Driving all over the country. So he's got stories, and he came on Hammer Lane Legends to share it. Let's get to Shane right now. All right, today we got Shane on the show. Shane, how are you, sir?
Doing great, Tony. Brian?
Great. It's good to talk to you, Shane.
So, Shane, you are somebody, actually, I think you might be the first person that contacted us for this show that you're not a driver. Like, you're not an official truck driver.
As
far as like a CDL truck driver.
I do have my DOT.
There you go.
Good
deal. So, like, I find it interesting that, you know, we have people who are listening to the show and they still find it relatable. And that's a goal, right? I mean, we want people to listen that even if they don't have a CDL or something, they can still relate to the stories and enjoy it. So that was something that was really nice to kind of see as far as the email comes across. Now, Shane, you work in lawn care right now, right?
Yep.
Okay. And I know you drive a 24-foot trailer. And you do all that stuff. So you are experienced with pulling something behind you.
Yes, sir.
But you are also a musician. and you traveled all over the place, you know, playing music. You've been on tour and things like that. So before we get into any of your experiences, though, I want you to give you an opportunity to kind of give your band a shout out or whatever you want to shout out and tell people where they can hear your music.
Okay, cool. So the band I did all the touring with, they're called Silent on Fifth Street. You can find them anywhere, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, everything. My most recent band, we're kind of on a hiatus right now because of the whole COVID thing. We're called Sijic, like the Sijic Order from Skyrim, if anybody's ever played Skyrim. It's spelled P-S-I-J-I-C. And it's heavy metal, so if you're into, you know, metal music, check us out. We're on everything, too, Spotify, YouTube. Oh, I have a SoundCloud account. That's just my name, Shane Newsome. I post a lot of my, like, demos and stuff that aren't, like, complete songs and whatnot there. And my Instagram is Dreaming Schematic.
Dreaming Schematic. Cool, man.
Yep.
So, Shane, you've done a lot of traveling with music and you just have a lot of these. I mean, I'm looking at this list. You have a lot of different experiences just from, you know, being out on the road and things happening. I told you I wanted to start you off with this one story and I'll let you kind of wind us down through the aisle here of all your experiences. But let's start out with the heroin addicts and Mustang crash in Louisiana, because I know you said that was a wild story.
All right. So this was our second time coming through Louisiana, and so we pull up to the venue, we get all our gear unloaded, everything's normal, you know, show, how it goes, and I think it's before the show started. We were all just sitting outside in the parking lot, and the road was probably 20, 30 yards away from the parking lot, and we're all just hanging out, leaning on the truck and stuff, and for some reason we all decided to, you know, turn around and lean against the truck and face the road. And the next thing we know, we see this 2008-ish convertible Mustang and this, like, I don't know, 80s hoopty. the 80s car just crosses the line and slams straight into the Mustang. But the Mustang driver, he had the convertible down. He didn't have his seatbelt on. I don't know if he was standing in the seat or what, but when they slammed, this dude flew straight up out of this Mustang. His head must have been like 15 feet in the air, like it was almost up to the power lines.
Jeez.
Crazy. And then he landed on his feet right next to the door.
What?
Wow.
And just put his hands on his head and was just like, what just happened? And was like walking around in circles.
That is so cool, dude.
Crazy. So anyway, my bass player, he used to be an EMT. So as soon as it happened, boom, he was right over there. He saw that the dude in the Mustang was fine, so he went over to the car. And both of the people in the other car kissed. They weren't wearing their windshields either. I mean, windshield. They weren't wearing their seatbelts either. They kissed the windshield.
Wow.
And there was a baby in the car. She was maybe like 2 years old, but thank God they had her strapped in the car seat right. And my buddy went over there and he said, you know, if you've got anything in here, you better get rid of it. I don't know why he said that, because, you know, they deserve what they get. But when he took a look, there was heroin baggies all over the whole car and in the baby's car seat and everything. It was horrible.
Yeah.
Wow. That is crazy.
Yeah.
People drive. So people do crazy things when they're driving.
Yeah.
And
especially
that, that stuff. Were, yeah. Oh, my
God.
They
word. Were messed up, too. They were high as a kite.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, yeah. I don't think if, well, I, it depends on what your environment is all the time and stuff as to what you think is normal. But I feel like most people who aren't high as a kite wouldn't put heroin baggies with next to a toddler in their
right.
seat and things like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Jeez, man. That,
sure.
Wow.
Yeah. That's crazy. I've had my share of, friends that were, you know, addicts and things like that. And, you know, like my one friend, I might have said it on the show. I don't know. It's hard to keep track of where I say things anymore. But I had a friend who was, he had just gotten married 2 months after I had gotten married. And he, as soon as he got married, just fell back into drugs and he was on hard stuff. Wow. And And they found him on his basement floor, almost dead.
Wow.
We put him in rehab. And I guess you could call me an enabler. I didn't know I was at the time. I just didn't know how to handle people who were on drugs. I wasn't familiar with it. And so, like, he called me the one day and asked me to drive out to Harrisburg, PA to pick him up from his rehab. And I was like, you know, you've only been in there for a week or whatever it was. And he's like, they let me out early. So I went and picked him up, and I met him on like a corner down the street kind of thing. And so I pick him up and we drive back, and we're getting him situated because his mom was going to come up from Virginia and pick him up and stuff. And he was supposed to, we had a gig in Allentown, Pennsylvania that night, and he was supposed to come with us. And last minute, he says to us that he forgot his, earlier that afternoon, he asked me if he could borrow my car to go do his taxes and stuff before he head out of state. And I said, okay, just make sure you're back because we have this thing in Allentown we got to get to. And he wasn't coming back, and he wasn't coming back. And then he texted me saying that, you know, he forgot his information at the tax person's place. He had to go back and get it. But he texted me right at the time that he knew we had to leave. And so I'm like, all right, just bring the car right back. We got to go. And then my wife at like 10:30 at night texts me. She's like, the car is still not back. And I text him, and I was like, dude, where are you at? And he said, I went to Philadelphia to meet some friends real quick. And I'm like, oh, gosh. And then he's like, my battery's about to die, my phone. And as soon as I got that text, I went to call him, and he didn't answer. It was already turned off. And so I got back at my place at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and the car still wasn't back. I stayed up all night in my other car in the parking lot, just waiting for him to show up, and showed up like 7 o'clock in the morning, and he's stoned like crazy. There was a crack bag in the car, numbers of dealers in the car, used condom, the back.
Of all the things, I think that's the worst one. It's like, dude, what have you been doing in my car?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just horrible.
The back right fender was all scratched up. And I was like, his eyes were all glassed over. And our other friends were rehabbed, you know, they were clean. And so my one friend, James, took him off my hands, and he kind of told me what was going on, because I was clueless. I was like, I've never seen this before. And I mean, I knew what was happening, as in like what happened, but I didn't understand. Like, that was the first time I ever saw somebody like just totally out of his mind. And then our other friend was mad at me, and that's the first time I ever heard somebody call me an enabler. He's like, you're enabling him. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. You be his friend. You know?
Man, yeah, they'll take advantage of you quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Think they're your friend.
It's like they're your friend, but the
drugs just change them, man. Yeah. It's like it's overpowers who they are.
Yep.
And I'm all about it.
It's crazy. So I've had my share of, and that's just one story.
But you know what? I mean, just bringing up, I'm coming back to this thing, because I mean, this guy flies out of the car and lands on his feet.
Yeah.
On his feet.
And that is crazy.
And he wasn't on drugs, right?
No, I heard from the EMTs, all he had was 2 sprained ankles.
I don't know. I mean, you want to talk about divine intervention, you want to talk about whatever you want, but that is crazy. I mean, just to be sitting there.
I don't know how it happened. I don't know how he flew like straight up and like 2 feet to the left.
I mean, that's just, that is crazy. I mean, that's, you know, wow. See that is like, that's like what's his name? David Blaine. I mean, that's like a, you know,
imagine.
Well, wow. On my other show.
Speaking of that. I forgot to tell you. I sent Lindsay an email. I saw a UFO like Wednesday night.
Oh, really? Tell me about it now.
Yeah, yes. Go for it.
Oh, it was crazy. Okay, so we heard a helicopter coming, but it was like really low. And I was out on my front porch, and there's a big sycamore tree that's probably close to 100 feet tall. And next thing we know, we're looking for the helicopter. We can see the headlight and the flashing lights of the helicopter. And as soon as it gets past the tree where we can see it, there's just this bright light directly in front of the helicopter, like it's its own thing. And there, you couldn't see any details or anything. But when you looked at the helicopter, you could see the whole helicopter. and there was only one engine sound. You could only hear the helicopter.
So
I think it was a UFO.
Oh, yeah. Sure sounds
and
like
plus
it.
Plus, I got like really nervous, and they say you feel like a connection to it or something, and like for sure it did. Like, it was crazy. And then as it got like away, we could still see the helicopter, but that light seemed like it just took off.
Like, was it like a blink of an eye took off? Did it
like we saw it, and then it seemed like it got really small, and then you couldn't see it anymore at all. It was just like, but the helicopter, you know, it was still there. It was still going.
Right.
Makes you wonder what the helicopter thought was going on. Right. You know, the person who's manning the helicopter. Are you near a military
base? It looked like they were following it.
Yeah.
Because they were directly behind it. Like, they were flying in the same flight path.
That's crazy.
Are you near Camp David? I know you're in Maryland. Are you near Camp David?
No.
Okay.
That's I think that's across the bay for me. So I'm like directly across the bay from Essex, if you know where that is. It's like North Baltimore.
Okay. Yeah, but so you're not far from Camp David then. I mean, Camp David's probably
too far.
Within an hour drive at least.
I'm on the eastern shore of Maryland, so I'm closer to Delaware. I'm like 30 minutes from Delaware.
Yeah. You hear a lot of stories coming out of the Camp David and stuff area. I feel like I'm saying the right camp. I might be saying the wrong one, but I'm pretty sure it's Camp David, which is the military base.
That's where the president goes.
Right.
Yeah. I'm also really close to Aberdeen.
There you go. Aberdeen
like, shakes my house.
Yep.
When they test.
Yep. There you go.
So maybe you saw a specialized military craft doing some test flights.
Possibly.
Either way, it's cool. It, you know, and no matter how you look at it, I mean, I guess in today's vernacular, it's a UAP, unidentified aerial phenomena.
Yeah, they don't want to say
they don't want to call it a UFO anymore.
Yeah.
But no, that's cool. That's a cool story, dude. That's really neat.
Yeah I definitely wanted to tell Tony that.
Yeah, I know that there's a lot of stuff that happens between Camp David and the underground military base here in Pennsylvania, Raven Rock.
That episode was cool with the truck driver.
Yeah. That show probably could have been a Hammer Lane show, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it could have.
But I know there's a lot of different connections between those two places. A lot of people think that there's tunnels that go between the two. And so
I believe it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
You could always make that a Hammer Lane bonus episode at some point.
Yeah, maybe. Probably not though. Yeah.
You should do that.
Why? Because that's the only way you'll listen to it. Because you don't listen to my show.
I listen to a bunch of different shows. I drive all night long. I listen to all kinds of shows.
Yeah. So, this guy that gets shot up. What'd you say? Like 15 feet in the air.
Yeah. His head, his head was probably like 15 feet off the ground.
Yeah. So I was going to take it all the way back. If somebody was telling me that on the confessionals, then I would be like, well, maybe it was angels, you know, keeping him from,
Wow. Yeah. I never thought of that.
Did he fall down like at gravity speed or did he kind of just come down like a feather?
No, he came down gravity speed.
Sprained his ankles. Well,
he could have done that, you know, from the impact.
Just float.
You know, I've heard a lot of crazy things in this world. You know,
well, that's true.
You got to ask the crazy questions to get the crazy answers.
That's true.
So, Shane, man, where are we going after this experience you had?
All right, so I think I'm going to switch back to my first tour. All right, so. It was the first time I'd ever really been away from my family because we've done some traveling. I used to go-kart race, and we used to go to nationals and stuff, so we went down to, like, South Carolina and out to Ohio. I'll tell you a story about that. But, you know, so I was only 19, and it was just weird being away from my family and everything. And I only knew one of the members of the band. Everyone else in the band was strangers. That's how I got in the band. But anyway... We're in Illinois. I forget which city. But anyway, we get to the venue early. We got all our gear loaded in inside and everything. And so we're all hanging out at this four-way intersection with like 10-story buildings on each corner. And we're all hanging out on one of the corners. And I wear glasses, so I was going back to the truck to put my contacts in for the show. And after I get my contacts in and everything, and I'm walking back to the guys all down on the corner, I just get this like really sick feeling like something bad's going to happen. And next thing I know, this kid comes flying down the road, probably 50 or 60 miles an hour. It was like a 30-mile-an-hour zone in this Toyota. And I think this was around the time when those Toyotas were having the recalls. When you push the brake, it would push the gas.
Mm-hmm.
And so this other guy who's pulling out of the corner we're standing on, I guess he was in a big SUV. I guess he thought, you know, this guy's going to slow down for me. I'm going. So he pulls out. Seems like the kid speeds up. So I guess he tried to hit his brake, but it, you know, the recall hit the gas and he slammed the SUV, and the SUV did like a 270 and slid all the way around into the curb. And when that happened, pretty much everyone ran and jumped out of the way. But the car that hit the SUV kept, it's hard to describe, but he's turned around the opposite way that he was coming from initially. And the car was still going. So everyone jumped out of the way except for my buddy Jeremy. Just stood like a deer in the headlights. And this car, thank God the kid still had like the wheel like cut. And the car, the front end of the car came like 6 inches to a foot from hitting my buddy Jeremy. And just the car slammed into one of the buildings. And like the tires were still trying to spin. We're all screaming at him like, shut your car off, shut your car off. And he finally like shut his car off. And it was just crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
It was my first day of tour. It was my second day of tour, our first show.
Wow.
Did he say?
And I forgot all the songs.
That'll do it. It'll knock everything loose. It's like, I'm not sure what we're doing. Are we here?
Yeah, I'm not in the mood to be playing music right now.
Man, I was wound up so tight.
Yeah. You said that he looked like a deer in the headlights. Did he talk about that at all to you? I mean, because sometimes I wonder, you know, when you hear stories like that, if people don't move because they think that their odds of surviving is just as good if they don't move as, you know, and maybe if I move, that car is going to move in that direction kind of thing. Did he just freeze or did he intentionally not
move? I think it was a more fight or flight or freeze. I think he froze.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And because at first, you know, there was the car accident right next to us and we're like, oh, crap. But then the car kept going and spun around 180 degrees and was coming at everybody and they jumped out of the way. Except for him, he was just like, just stood there. And I asked him, I was like, why? Like, why didn't you move? He's like, I don't know.
I can imagine. You know what? There are times where it just, you know, it just catches you by surprise. And you don't know what to do. You know what I mean? Your brain just freezes and your body just, you know, kind of, it's, I don't want to say shut down, but at the same time, it just freezes. Everything just freezes right where it's at. It's not going to move.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So
I love stories of the road. I mean, I do. It just, it's awesome.
When these
I haven't even been in the car yet.
I know you're not even driving yet. Yeah, you're just sitting like, there,
not even driving.
Innocent bystander. All this crap. Did he, you know, after that experience and stuff, did it kind of like affect him at all, or did he just kind of brush it off and carry on?
It seemed like he brushed it off. Cause we had to sit in another room of the venue to go over the songs because I was so nervous. I forgot him. He was fine.
Wow. That's actually pretty cool. I mean,
and it's weird because he has panic attacks.
Wow.
Yeah. And he
must
was
be about
fine.
The small things in life.
Yeah, really. It's like, wow. Cause you think that would be something that would hang on, that would create that whole environment of panic attack inducing type of stuff.
Maybe he panics about not having the coffee in the morning.
I tell you what, I would panic about that. I know. I see a car coming at me at, you know, that kind of speed. Holy moly.
Yeah. Yeah.
After the car hit, once it got going, it was probably going like 20 miles an hour again. If it would have hit him, they would have been going like 20. Yeah.
Wow.
Scary stuff.
That is scary stuff.
And you said his name is Jeremy?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Sorry, I guess he won't mind if I tell you.
Jeremy, it don't matter.
It'll be fine.
You're fine.
Yeah.
So,
don't know
no last names, right?
Yeah. So I see that you, what'd you get? You guys got slammed by a van or something like that in Atlanta?
Okay, so no, we really, really close to it. So we were driving through Atlanta. It was just crazy traffic. I don't know if you've ever been to Atlanta, but...
No.
Oh, man, the highways, they're really skinny. There's no shoulder. I think we're in a road work area, and there's just this old like 80s van. I don't remember what model or anything, but they were just driving like right next to us, and it looked like the tires that were on it were from the 80s.
The original
and,
wear.
He just went over a pothole, and bam, and he came, like, he swerved into our lane, but like, I don't, somehow he didn't hit us. And, you know, that whole lane of traffic stopped. Well, what are you going to do? We got to make it to the next show. Kept going.
Yeah, maybe that van was the dealer's van of the people who got slammed into the Mustang. That's funny.
Those are actually about a year apart.
I literally just sat here and said, that's funny to my own joke.
Yep, you're old man.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I started noticing age lines underneath my eyes.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
well, you know, when you start getting up and you grunt as you move, you know you're getting old. It's like, ugh.
That's me. That's me.
As soon as I had my son, I started making dad noises.
There you go.
This morning I wake up and I'm trying to clean the living room with a baby in my arm, and my back hurts, my knee hurts, my ankle hurts, and you know, I'm feeling miserable.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, it sucks.
I'm not looking forward to it.
You know, if I knew old age was going to feel this bad, I would have lived it up harder as a young man.
If you knew old age was going to start this early, yes, you'd have lived it up as a young man.
My gosh. I was like, I got the rest of my life, and I'm like 35 and feeling like I'm breaking. Sucks. It absolutely sucks. That's what truck driving does to you, though. That's what it does. I mean,
that's what life does to you.
Well, yeah, it's true. But life, I mean, how many truck drivers do you know have bad backs?
Everyone I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a bad back. I'm 123.
Exactly.
But
there
you travel
go.
The freaking country in a freaking truck with five other guys.
In the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, you know, our company offers, like, what is it? 40 some visits to a chiropractor a year.
I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah. We get like 30 to 40 some visits a year to a chiropractor. And it's like, well, they do that for a reason, because truck drivers have bad backs and they need to keep us running. It's like taking your car to a car garage to get an oil change. They're like, go to the chiropractor.
I have to go get an alignment.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And, you got to get your spinal alignment.
Yeah, exactly. You know that feeling when you leave the car garage after an alignment, your steering wheel's straight and everything? Oh, feels like I'm driving a brand new car.
1 week down the road.
Yeah.
Feels like I'm driving a whole new body.
I'm all out of whack again.
Yeah, yeah.
Wearing your shoes out sideways, you know.
Yeah, one of these days you'll be able to replace your spine with another spine. Probably not in my lifetime, but it's going to happen.
Probably.
Happen. Yeah.
But yeah, anyways, I'm hijacking the show with back problems.
Bring it back to Shane.
Shane, how you doing today?
Doing great, Tony.
Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to Hammer Lane.
Oh, man.
Where are we going from here, Shane? Talk to me, man.
All right. Let's see. I got all kinds of stories. So, here's two that go together. So, my dad used to drag race. And so one time we were going to pick up his car from the shop, but me and my buddy hooked up the trailer to the truck, and we were like 15.
Uh-oh.
And you know, we got all hooked up and everything. We're like, "Oh, cool, we're good to go." Well, we didn't put the pin back in the latch that goes over the, you know, the ball, the hitch.
Right.
And we got on my local bridge that goes over the Chester River. And we got like halfway across it, and we saw this guy walking on the sidewalk, and he like jumped over to the edge of the bridge. And we're like, what the heck? And then we started feeling the truck moving all around. And we looked behind us, and the trailer came unhitched, and we were pulling it by the safety chains.
Thank God for safety chains, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we pulled right in to right where we were going, which was right across the bridge. And like, my dad, shoo, I didn't hear the end of that one. Yeah. But then check this out.
Shane. Shane. I was looking at, anyways, Shane. I'm bad with names. But
you're good.
What you just did there, as far as that whole story, is you created a meme. That's what you did. That's what you did. I mean, if somebody would caught that on video or something, that'd be a gift for years.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Anyways,
so check this out. Like maybe a year later, we almost did the same thing. So the car, we leave the car on the car trailer and then hook up to it. Well, guess what? We didn't put the pin in again. Well, we drove all the way up. We made it all the way to the drag strip, which is like an hour from my house. And we started backing the car off the trailer. Next thing you know, the trailer comes unhitched and the trailer comes flying up in the air. And my dad, man, he was just shaking his head.
I can imagine what's going through his mind.
I'm sitting here thinking to myself, if I ever did that to you, I'd be like, how would my dad react? He wouldn't be sitting there shaking his head. That's for damn sure.
No.
It was more than that.
I remember I was fueling I just got done fueling my tractor in the morning. It was probably like, it was 6 o'clock. It was still dark out. So it was a 6 o'clock start that I had. And one of our drivers is already hooked up to his trailer and he starts pulling it out of the line. And he forgot to check the pin, and the trailer actually slid off the fifth wheel onto the frame, and he stopped it in time.
Oh, lucky for him.
Yeah, and so we brought forklifts out to lift up the trailer so he could back in underneath it and stuff. But that happens even to truck drivers and stuff. That's why I'm so, like, I'm very anal about that. Every time I hook up,
triple check.
Yep. Yeah, I hook up, I hear a click, I give it a tug test, but then when I'm winding my legs up, I get down and I look and make sure that pin is locked locked in, because
arm straight.
I'm like, I don't want it happening to me, because sometimes guys make it out into the road before they know it's not.
Yep.
And they dump it out on the road, and that's scary, especially if you make it out on the highway or something.
And embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I don't know which is, it's scary and it's very dangerous, but it's also very embarrassing.
I would imagine it's embarrassing. Yeah.
I felt embarrassed because I was like, man, I know better.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, hey, we just did this a year ago.
Now we revisited this
lesson one more time.
Right.
Yep.
But it happened.
That's all it took. Knock on wood. It hasn't happened since.
There you go. Amen, brother.
There's embarrassing things. Like, so when I was first starting at Pitt, Ohio, they brought me in as a straight truck driver. So I did a lot of like Philadelphia stuff. So I was very meticulous about locking the doors when I'm getting out and doing these neighborhood deliveries. And the first time I locked myself out of the truck, I call dispatch. They send a truck to let me in because all the truck keys match. And then I did it again. And I called dispatch. And then I did it again. And I called dispatch. And I remember, like, I did it a lot. I did it a lot. And I remember the one time.
It's a tough lesson.
I know. Some of us don't. It doesn't sink in, you know? Apparently. So, because you're with the straight truck delivery driving, you're hustling and you're just go. And then on top of it, I wasn't familiar with the area. So it's just like you lock the doors out of habit, but you forget to take the key out, especially like you have your routine. And if you got out of your routine before you got out of the truck. But I remember the last time I ever did it, I locked myself out of the truck and I was like, there is no way I am calling my dispatch to tell them that I did this again, because I think I had just done it like a few days before. And
oh my gosh.
So I was preparing to find something to break the window out and say that I got robbed.
Oh my word.
And then it's like one of those things where like I didn't really, but I might as well have had a rock in my hand getting ready to smash the window. And I look down the street, and just as I'm getting ready to commit to this idea, I see there's a car garage, and I'm like, huh. I went down there and they had a Jimmy set, and they came up and Jimmy the lock for me. I was like, oh, thank God. But like I was new. Like, I mean, all this happened within like the first 6-7 months of me working there. I mean, I was really new, and I was like, they're going to freaking fire me just out of plain stupidity, you know? And so I was like, I'm about to break this window out and just say I got robbed. That way it's not my fault. I don't know what happened. The window was broken and all my stuff was stolen out of the truck, you know?
Until they do an investigation and they go to all the companies that are around where you're at, and they take the CCTV stuff and they see you standing there throwing a rock in your own window.
And then I'm fired.
And then it's like, you should have just called.
Should have just called. That's a good point. That's a good point. That would be a good story, though.
Oh, it's hilarious. That would make a hilarious story.
Oh man, you live and you learn, right?
Whatever.
So speaking of tractor trailers, once smashed a small car against a median in Washington.
Yeah, so this was, I was asleep during this, so I don't know how I didn't wake up. I think everyone was asleep except for the driver. I don't know if he was lying to me. He's never told me a lie before, but he said that they were just driving and maybe 100 yards in front of us. We're all moving the same speed, but he said he just saw this like smart car looking thing just in the blind spot of this trucker. And, he merged over and smashed him in between the median, kept going. Didn't know he did it.
That's the funny thing is, something can happen in a truck. And I've actually had this happen. You don't even, all you feel is maybe a little shake.
Have so much weight.
I had a guy run a red light coming down a ramp, never stopped at the red light, hit me on my tandems on the trailer, and all I felt was just a sway. Tore his front end off. I look in my mirror and I'm like, what the heck was that? It's not windy out, I look in the mirror and I see this white car spinning behind me. I was like, what the heck? I mean, I walk back and his front end is torn off. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I can understand how you could easily, press up against a small car like that and not realize it and
one of those things where, in a tractor trailer.
I feel bad because, if I would have saw that, I would have been like, man, we got to pull over and call somebody.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what I would hope.
I guess he was worried about getting to the next show.
I don't know.
I don't know what's going through his head.
But, it's one of those things in a tractor trailer. People who don't drive truck often don't totally understand the fact that we're pulling 53-foot trailer plus the tractor, and literally the only thing we have up front to tell us what is behind us is these two mirrors on the side. And there's a lot of blind spots with that, and so things can happen. And that's me and my dad were just talking about this before we started calling you, and it's like when it's raining and it's heavy rain. Well, our mirrors have water droplets on them. And so it distorts our view. And then if it's a really bad rain, there's water just running up the window next to you. And you have to see through the water to even see the mirror that has water droplets on it. And then you have people who are passing on the highway with no lights on. We literally can't see you.
Yep.
And we start merging, and that's how accidents happen. Mm-hmm. And it's technically our fault. It is. Because how do you prove that they didn't have the lights on, once the accident happens, the lights could have got turned off at any point.
Well, that's why some of the things, just trying to get people to understand when you're passing a big truck, pass.
Yeah.
Don't hang around. Yeah. Don't play games. It's one of those things that you want to get people to understand. You should really treat every car that way. If you're passing, pass.
Yeah.
Don't hang next to somebody. Exactly. You don't know what's going to happen.
Many people pay attention.
Yeah, they really don't.
You're driving a rolling metal death trap.
Yeah, yeah.
Conscious of everything around you.
Yeah, exactly. And, with what you do, it's the same thing. You have a trailer, 24-foot trailer that you haul around? Yeah,
I bent the axle on that trailer last week or 2 weeks ago. And now we have an open trailer. But I was getting ready to turn in where I normally turn, but there's a curb. So it's like a right-hand turn is the main road, and then my road kind of wise off to the left. And it's like a 25-mile-an-hour zone, so I was going 25, slowing down to, 20 to make the turn. Next thing I know, this car comes flying, 50 or 60 around the corner.
Wow.
So I had to, stop making the turn, but I swung right a little bit to make it into the, cause it was like a small back road and there's curbs on each side of it. So I didn't want to, hit the trailer on the curb. I ended up hitting the trailer on the curb on the main road. Cause I was going to slam this car, bent the axle.
Wow.
And we pulled it for a whole week like that. Just burnt the tire up.
Oh, well, but that is the stuff that you hear. And when you spend a lot of time, like you do, you spend a lot of time driving. And, you see these things and it drives you crazy because it's like, if this person had been taking their time and okay, I get it. We don't all drive. Yeah. Could have been horrible. You know, that really could have turned out terrible. And that's what people don't understand, is that it's like you said, it's a steel death trap. I mean, you're driving down the road and we're all in it. You know, we're all in these things. And if people would just slow down a little bit, I get it. We all, you know, kind of exceed the speed limit. I'm just as guilty as everybody else is.
I'm not.
You
know, I mean, I'll be honest with you.
I'm not.
But
I do it in the right spot.
Exactly. Well, you do it when it seems like, okay, it's, you know, not
everybody
so bad.
Else is doing it.
And you know, you might be doing 40 in a 35, you know, maybe 45 in a 35. But when you're really pushing the limit, when you're really pushing 50 in a 35 or a 25 zone, it's like, dude, you're going.
That's dangerous. Yeah, it's 35 for a reason.
Exactly. That's it. Because I see it. My wife and I, Michelle and I, live in a rural area. We have we're on a rural road, and the speed limit on there is 35 miles an hour. And I see people flying up. Now, there's kids and everything, you know, there's the houses are very sparse and kind of dispersed out. But, you know, you get people flying up there. And I mean, this is, you know, deer's cross, you know, deer's. Yeah. Here I am. I'm doing the exact same thing I hear other people do. It's deer. Whether it's plural or singular, it's deer. No deers, no S. Deer run across the road. I mean, anything can happen. People live there with kids, you know, older folks, people walking, people out there taking their dog for a walk, and there's no shoulders and there's no, you know, there's no sidewalks.
Yeah, I know. I'm familiar with the Pennsylvania roads.
There you go. I mean, and so
they suck, don't they?
They do suck. So I can appreciate anyway.
Yeah, I
all that
from Maryland say, I where the roads
that.
Are like golden paved.
Well, I'll tell you what, Maryland may not be perfect, but I spent a lot of time in Maryland, and I can tell you this: when you go down Route 83 out of Pennsylvania into Maryland, you can tell when it's snowing out. You can tell what state knows how to take care of their roads.
Yeah,
you go from Pennsylvania. They do. Maryland does it's like going from snow covered immediately to blacktop roads. I'm like, how do they do this? And right there at that line, it stops.
And they're like, Pennsylvania, you're on your own.
They're on it.
They are. I mean, and my hat is off to them. They do a fantastic job. They really do. I am not impressed with Pennsylvania.
Me neither.
All right, so since we're talking about snow,
go for it.
All right. So we have like an old 60s 4020 tractor that we, you know, it's got a big plow in the back. So we usually plow the snow. We usually plow our driveway and like all our neighbors that are on our road. And most of them are actually family. But anyway, my cousin is plowing his father-in-law's house, which is my neighbor. And he's plowing out by the mailbox. And next thing we know, here's another heroin addict. The roads are ice. The trucks hadn't made it out at this point yet. I don't know. They weren't on it this time. But the roads are covered in snow and ice. And we saw this car just coming down the road going like 60. And the next thing you know, he loses control right where my cousin is and slams into the back wheel of the tractor. And it busted the back wheel of the tractor off. And I don't know how my cousin did it, but he was a strong guy back then, and he just held onto the steering wheel and stayed right on the tractor, and he was fine, but it was crazy.
Wow.
Busted the back wheel off of the tractor.
He had to nail that thing hard.
It was like steel, big giant steel rims. Like,
holy cow. I mean, you know, Jack told us a story at the last break room, you know, his story of running into the back of a tractor. The car I gave him fell apart.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine.
Yeah, no, the car was destroyed.
Oh, my. I bet. My word. But, I mean, to hit a tractor that hard that you whack the tire off. Holy crap.
Busted the rim.
Bust it. I mean, that's just nuts. That's somebody moving quick. Way too quick on snow covered roads. That is.
Everybody survived though.
Everyone was fine. Even the guy, he was fine. Wow, everyone was fine. Thank God.
Yeah,
you got that right.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah, it hearing that, those stories like Jax and stuff. I mean, like it sounds like the car just fell apart.
it did.
And it's like reminds me of that toy when I was a kid. The toy where it was a ball, but you had to put it in pieces together, and it was real fragile. And if you hit it the right way, it just all kind of just fell apart. That's what I think of when I hear that story.
Oh yeah.
So, Shane, you your dad flipped a car with your cousin. Is that right?
Yeah. So they were over on the western shore they're actually, I think they're in Essex, but they were just, you know, driving over to pick up my uncle who lives over there, because he comes over like once a year or so to see us, but he doesn't have a car or anything because he's a city guy, so they go pick him up. But they made it through the intersection, and this car just ran a red light, slammed him, and the car pulled. They drove off. I guess they're okay with their car being messed up, but my dad's car, they slid and they hit the curb and they started to roll, but there was like a sapling there, pretty big one, you know, I mean, probably not sapling, but just a small young tree. And it stopped them from rolling. They just rolled into the tree, and then the tree kind of pushed them back over, and they sat down back on the wheels.
Wow. That's crazy.
And then I had to drive over there and pick them all up.
Yeah, you sit there for a little while and just kind of catch your breath going, woo.
Yeah, they were just sitting at a Dunkin' Donuts, and they're both pretty wound tight guys. And when I got there, they're like, man, that was great.
I bet.
I'm willing to bet that driver didn't have car insurance, and that's why they kept
that's
going.
Why they just rolled along.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably like the number one reason why people leave the scene of an accident, that and they don't have a license, you know?
Yeah.
Or they're wanted or something.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy because you got to think, like, what's going on in somebody's life that they would do something like that and then leave the scene, you know? Like did something that bad, I can't imagine just driving away. Like, at that point, it happened.
Could have killed somebody. Yeah. You're just driving away.
The moral compass kind of takes over at that point, and you just can't. Yeah. Like, I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Yeah, I think some people's moral compass doesn't have a needle.
Some people don't have one, it seems like.
Yeah, exactly.
It's broken like the speedometer in my truck.
Yeah, there you go.
I got to get that thing fixed.
I'm done with that.
Yeah, it bounces a lot.
You can tell by the RPMs how fast you're going. Like,
I'm driving down the highway.
To the cops. I don't know.
I'm driving down the highway and bounces between like 45 and 65. I'm like, oh, I'm going somewhere between there.
So I'm doing like 50-55,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm just averaging out, you know.
I'm close.
And if the cop pulls me over and says, you know how fast you're going? I'm like, do you?
Nope. Yeah.
You know, how fast was I going? I'm curious.
I did that not by accident. I was stupid. When I was younger, I used to drive really fast everywhere, all the
really?
Time.
Actually, I find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
I
don't know if I ever told you this. I had to...
I don't know if I ever told you this, Dad, but...
I had to take a test to keep my license because...
That's right. So did your mother. So I know where you get it. Yeah, I know where you got it from.
I used to speed all the time. I would get tickets and everything, and I got so many points in my license. The only way they'd let me keep it is if I took this test. And after that, I was like, okay, I need to start slowing it down.
Oh, yeah.
But that all happened before I was 20.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
But I got pulled over for speeding the one night I was driving to Lindsay's, I think it was, when we were dating. And the cop pulls me over on 662 right outside of Fleetwood. And he says to me, do you know how fast you were going? And I said, no, my speedometer's broken. How fast was I going? And he's like, your speedometer's broken. And I said, yeah. And he's like, it's illegal to drive a car with a broken speedometer. And I was like, okay. And he's like, I might need to have your car towed. And I was like, what? And I was like begging him. I was begging him. I was like, please, please, please. And so he wrote me a ticket and told me I had to show up to, I forget what happened, but I had to prove that my speedometer was fixed. And so I had Uncle Brian fix it for me. But
good idea.
Yeah. I tell you, I've had so many bad driving stories that I've done when I was younger, where I was just careless and didn't care, and now I'm the total opposite of what I used to be. You know, it happens.
Yeah.
I guess.
Oh yeah.
I mean, young guys with cars, they do crazy stuff.
So, what did you do, Shane, to warrant the retest?
Yes.
Oh, I just speeding. I had an 84 Monte Carlo as my first car, and it was just kind of a cop magnet anyway. It had, you know, the windows tinted, but I had a historical tag, so they couldn't really get me for that anyway. But I just got pulled over a couple times because my speedometer, I had different size tires on there than I was supposed to. So like I was going 45, I was going 55.
Right. It wasn't reading right. Well, see,
and, you know, so I'm like, I don't like looking at my speedometer going 45. It looks better at 50.
There you go.
So when you were going 55 in a speedometer, you were going 65 in real life.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you. My wife.
So actually what happened, I was driving to my buddy's house to just hang out, and my other buddy was supposed to meet us there, and he was driving a SS Cobalt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we used to do a little street racing on the back roads, me and him. So I see this car pulling behind me, like flying up behind me. So I'm like, all right, let's go. It's my buddy. Let's go. So I get on it too. So I probably got up to like 80. Next thing I know, lights are on.
Oh,
that's the worst. Yep. That's the worst.
Yep. Oh, my word. That's hilarious.
Reminds me. Reminds me of a story. I think Steven, my cousin Steven, I think if I remember correctly, he told me this years ago. We were all younger then, and Steven used to have like really fast cars, and him and his friends were there doing the same thing. They were racing each other down the highway, and Steven had, I think it was like an 86 Mustang and 5.0, mm-hmm. and it was really souped up. Like, I rode in it one time and he showed me how hard it hit. I've never been in a car that when you hit that gas like that, it throws you in the seat. Like, I felt the pressure on my chest.
I know all about it.
Yeah. And so the car was fast, and it was so fast that apparently there was a cop chasing him and he didn't even know it. And I think he pulled into the gas station or something like that, went inside to get, I don't know, whatever he was getting. And the cop finally caught up to him. Wow.
I came back out. I was waiting for him.
It's just like, but you know, guys with cars, when you're younger, you do crazy stuff. It really does happen. And
man, I don't know. My dad, he had a Fox Body Mustang 5.0.
Really?
He was showing one of these younger guys that was up here. He's also trying to sell it, so he's trying to get him interested in it. But so he pulls out of the driveway, and there's an unmarked police car coming around the corner. He decides, oh, I'm just going to pull out anyway. My car is fast, so I don't need to wait for them. Boom, books it down our road. It's we probably got like a mile of straightaway that's like my road. And, you know, there's a hill at the end. He gets to the top of the hill. He gets turned around. He's going to come back, you know, because they're just going for a short little ride. And next thing you know, the cops come flying up the hill. He said, I don't know, how fast are you going? I said, pretty fast. He said, well, I clocked you at 80.
And that's when I was able to catch you.
Probably going like 130 miles an hour.
I'm like, that's like, yeah, let's go with 80.
Yeah.
80 sounds about right.
Went to court, and I don't think they gave him a fine or anything, because he doesn't have any points or anything on his license.
Wow, that's good.
You know, I don't have that problem anymore, and Dad, you can attest to this because you drove behind me a few weeks ago. I drive like I'm driving a tractor trailer when I'm in my pickup truck.
Yep.
I do it in my little Honda CRV. I'll take turns wide and stuff. Yeah. My friends are like, why do you drive like this? I'm like, I'm so used to having a trailer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I don't even know it. And my dad told me after he was done following me for, it's like an hour ride. He's like, you take all your turns like you're driving
way wide. I'm like, dude, you're making a left hand turn. You're going all the way across the road and then turning left. I'm like, what are you doing?
I don't even know I'm doing it. But like, on that note, when I pull out in the traffic and stuff, my judgment is way off when I'm in a smaller vehicle as to what gap I can have.
You got way more time.
Yeah. And so there's times I'll be driving with somebody and like, why don't you go? I'm like, I'm waiting for time to clear. And like, they're like, you could have made it like 10 times, you know?
But
in my head, I'm thinking I got this big truck and it moves slow. And I mean, sure, I could cut off everybody, but I don't really like doing that in my big truck.
Yeah,
I mean, and so I just wait. And so I just do it in my own personal truck. And so a 20-minute drive takes 30 because I just sit around waiting at intersections all the time.
Just waiting here in traffic, you know.
Just hanging out, you know. We're just doing our thing.
100% relate.
Oh, my word. Well, you know, talking about what it's like when you're driving a big truck or when you're driving around with something that's hanging off the back. You have one here. It says, guy trying to back out of sidebar in Baltimore, couldn't back up to save his life. I love stories about backing up. That is one of my favorite things to talk about. Go for it.
Man. Okay, so this guy, it was like a parking lot beside the venue, but like we weren't allowed to park there. It was dumb. we had to park on the street. So they, you know, they pulled their van in there and unloaded all their gear. And it was a short trailer, you know, maybe like a 10-foot trailer. So, you know, those, they turn when they turn.
Yep, they turn quick.
So you gotta, you know, pretty much gotta just drive slow and
yeah,
you get it. But man, this guy, he must have backed out into the road like 20, 25 times. Could not back this trailer up. And I was finally like, dude, I know how to drive a trailer. Do you want me to just back this out for you real quick? He's like, no, I got it. And like 5 minutes later, he finally like got it backed
just
out.
Just couldn't admit it. Just, yeah, you know, he's going to keep doing it till it kills him or whatever, where he gets it at.
Yeah. I had
everybody.
Well, luckily there wasn't a lot of traffic.
I had just gotten my trailer license and I was helping our Harrisburg terminal out. And I was at this place where they had probably, I would say 6 to 7, 8 docks. There was no trucks in the docks at all. And I had just gotten there right after a road guy got there. And, mm-hmm, you know, guys who drive over the road and stuff, you know, they don't back up nearly as much as I do every day, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And so now looking back on it and stuff, I was thinking this guy probably is new at driving. He doesn't back up much. But I pull in.
And it showed.
Yeah. And there's literally, it was like a dock with an overhang on it. And in the mm-hmm middle between all the docks, there's just one pole. And he kept backing up and hitting the pole after one after another. And all the guys are just standing there looking at him. I'm standing looking at him and I'm new. And I'm thinking, is it really that hard to back in here? It doesn't look that hard, but this guy can't get it done. And I'm psyching myself out. And so he finally gets in after like banging this post all the time. And I backed in no problem. And I was like, oh, this guy just must really suck, you know? And I was at this one place where it is a hard back and the angle is really hard. And it's just, it was really stupidly built and they have trailers come in this place. And there was, again, this road guy and he couldn't back in. And I was there for probably 20, 30 minutes and he just couldn't get it. And so I go out and I'm going to help him. I was going to try to help him direct him as to back in. Cause I just wanted to go.
Yeah.
And yeah, he, instead of me directing him, he leans his head out and says, can you do this for me?
That's an honest guy, you know. I mean, he's like, I can't do it. You know, let's find somebody who can.
It's like, I can't. I did it because, you know,
you're a nice guy and you want to get done.
Yeah.
I would like to get done at some point. So yes, get out.
No, I didn't.
Sure.
Because I
it's someone else's truck.
Yeah. I was new at driving truck and so, a trailer, and yeah, so I was like, I'm not that confident, you know. Now I wouldn't feel bad at all, but I've heard of stories like that where guys, like this one guy I was delivering to, he has a trailer license, but he works.
Did you take notice, Shane, that Tony has a story.
Yeah, I got plenty of stories.
I got plenty of stories.
But
I love your stories.
This one guy that I used to deliver to, he had his trailer license and he actually did do that. There was a guy that couldn't get it and stuff. Mm. And it wasn't backing up though, it was something else. Or no, he was backing up, but he was off the road and he had all traffic blocked.
Oh.
He got out of his car and did it for him. He's like, dude, just let me do it because I got places to go. You know?
And so does everybody else.
Yeah.
Take notice of creating a nice backup.
Yeah, so I understand how like people who don't drive truck and stuff, they can get frustrated with truck drivers and just the idea that we're big, we're in the way, we're slowing you down and stuff. But
We are.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's a reality.
There's definitely a patience that we ask, though, of the drivers around us and stuff. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I find it funny because I said to you that we were talking about different stuff upstairs before we came down. And it's funny because like 6-7 months ago, everywhere, you couldn't go anywhere on social media without people saying thank you to the truck drivers. We were heroes. And back then how long is that going to last?
Right.
And now we're back to people cutting us off and brake checking
and
giving us the finger. Everything's like, it was nice while it lasted, I guess, you know?
It's good to be back.
Yeah. In 2020, this feels normal and I like it.
Yeah, exactly. Normal again.
Yeah.
Finally, something normal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Shane, man, before we wrap up things here, dude, do you have another story you want to get out of your
system? I got one more good one.
Go for it.
All right. So we had a blizzard, I don't know, a few years ago. I'm sure you guys got it too, but, got in my head. I wanted to go over to my buddy's house and, take some illegal substances with him.
It's a long weekend.
Yeah. So I had my girlfriend with me, and my dad let me borrow his four-wheel drive truck. And it was like a Ford 6.0 four-wheel drive single cab. And so I get over there. We take the stuff. And like 10 minutes later, my dad calls me. He's like, got to bring the truck back.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm like, whew, Dad, I don't know about that. And he's just guilting me into it. Like, well, if something happened, what if we have to take someone to the hospital? We need the four-wheel drive truck, even though he had another four-wheel drive truck.
It's almost like he knew.
So, I'm not quite myself anymore, so I'm like, okay, well, I better take this truck back. So when you pull out of my buddy's driveway, you can either go left and go up this like big hill, and that's the closest way to get to my house. He only lives like 2 or 3 miles away from me. But I was like, man, we better take the long way because it's a lot flatter roads. So he's like, okay, yeah. So we get going, pull out of there. We come to like this little four-way intersection. We roll right through it. So now I'm rolling like 40 because it's blizzarding. Like this, I can barely even see the road. Like I can't even see the road really. I can just see where the ditches are kind of. But I'm trying to keep my momentum up to not get stuck. And so I come up to the crest of this hill, and there's a woman. It's nighttime, by the way. A woman walking in the middle of the road, like 20, 30 yards in front of me. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, one, is she real? Because, like I said,
you just indulged.
Two, I was like, I don't know. God was with me that night. I slammed the brakes. Like, I just kept sliding and sliding. Like my buddy Jeremy almost got hit. Like, I was like a foot away from hitting this lady, and my tires just grabbed and threw me in the ditch. And, wow. So we're like, man, what the heck? I'm shaking. I'm like, what is going on? Like, almost just hit this lady. And so my buddy, he's in a truck behind me because I was going to bring the truck back to my dad and then go back with him in his dad's truck. And so like, man, what are we going to do? We can't just leave this truck here. We got to try to pull it out. And then she's asking for help and stuff, but we're kind of out of our minds. And we're like, look, we can't help you. Like, I thought she was going to kill me or something. I was like, is she a witch or something? Like, who walks down the middle of the road in the boonies? Like, there's barely any houses on this road at nighttime in the middle of a blizzard.
It's a good question.
So I'm freaked out. I'm like, I did not want to talk to her. I'm like, go talk to my buddy. So, like, he just tells her basically, F off. And this was his second time ever doing the substance, so he was not preparing at all. I guess neither of us were for this. But anyway, we get pulled out. We just kind of ditch her. I felt bad, but like I was scared she was going to kill me or something. And so we finally make it down the road again. We come out of the woods, and then there's two fields in the road. So just a big empty field. So the snow had drifted completely over the road. It was like a 4 or 5 foot high snowbank, but I couldn't really see it because it's nighttime and blizzarding. So I'm rolling like 40 and just plow right into this thing, go from like 40 miles an hour to zero in like 2 seconds. Luckily, both me and my fiance now had our seatbelts on, so, you know, we were fine. And then we see at the end of the road the National Guard and the ambulance. We're like, what the heck? And then I get out. I'm like, man, I try to back the truck up first, and I couldn't move it. And then I was talking to my buddy. I was like, man, we got to try to get this truck. Like, we can't just leave this truck here. But he was like, nah, man, that thing's stuck. And so the National Guard walks down there, and I'm just like, out of my mind. I'm scared. I'm like, what is going on? I'm cold. And I think I see my buddy John, who's an EMT, and I give the guy a big hug. I'm like, oh man, I'm so good to see you. And I look up at him, and it's not him. he's like, it's all right, buddy. He's like, you guys need to come with us. You all right? And I'm like, no, we're good. Because my buddy didn't want to get his dad's truck stuck out in the blizzard. So he's like, we gotta head back. And I was just scared and stuff at this point. I was like, man, I want to be with my girlfriend. But she was like, screw this. I'm going back to town with them in the ambulance because her mom lived like maybe a mile from the hospital. Not even that. So I was going to go with her. And I went to go tell my buddy, like, hey, look, man, I'm sorry. Like, this is crazy. I'm just going to go with her and feel safe. And he was like, "You're not effing leaving me out here." And I was like, "Oh man, I can't do that. Like, we're on drugs." So anyway, I do not endorse the use of any drug, there by the way. So we get back in his car, his truck, and luckily, like I said, man, God was with us that night. Like, right where he stopped, his back wheels were in, like, the perfect spot to just cut the wheel and back up into a driveway that was plowed.
Cool.
So we get going. We finally get turned around. We're headed back to his house. I mean, keep in mind, it's blizzarding this whole time, so the road conditions are just getting worse and worse and worse. So we finally get back to the long stretch before his driveway, and it's a field, too. It had completely drifted over by this point. He floored it. And so the road, either on either side, there was like maybe there's the road was like 3 feet lower than the fields. Catch my drift? Like, the ditches were higher than the actual road.
Yeah.
And the snow had drifted off even to the fields. So it was like a 3-4 foot tall snowbank. Somehow we were going like 80. We ramped up the snowbank and drove on top of it for like 100 yards. I don't know how the truck didn't sink down into the snow. Like, I don't know, man, but God was with us. And then we were going too fast to be able to, there was a creek at the end of this road and we should not have been able to stop. I just somehow I got calm a little bit and I was just like, look, we're going to be okay. It's okay. And like, somehow we slowed down enough to make the turn and not go in the creek and slow down enough in time to make it into his driveway. And then it was just like, oh, we're safe.
I'm sitting That's here awesome. And I'm waiting for the punchline of the story as him saying, and the whole time we were still in my friend's driveway.
No, but, oh man, I definitely like believe in God and know he takes care of his own, and even not his own, I guess. Well, I guess everyone's his. But anyway, yeah, that was a good. Did some praying that night.
I guess so. That's awesome.
And there was a short little segment of Shane's theological lesson of the day. God takes care of his people and is not his people. Well, I guess they're all his people. That's great, man.
Now it is.
Well, Shane, man, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing some stories. And if I called you Shane or Jeremy or Sean, whatever I called you, I'm talking to you, man.
I appreciate you, Tony. Brian, it's great talking to you guys.
It was great having you. Thank you so much for contacting us and for coming on and talking with us. We had a great time. We really did.
Thank you, guys.
Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. And Dad, if they enjoyed it, what should they do?
They should share the show. They should share it with friends, with family. They should go on Facebook, take a look at our fan page. They should go on Instagram. They should go on Twitter. We have people all over the place.
We're global. So make us global even more.
Exactly.
Make us universal.
Put us into your world.
Yes.
Bring Hammer Lane Legends into your world.
Yes. And you know how you can do that? By getting apparel. Just go to HammerLaneLegends.com and hit the gear section, and you can get yourself some gear as far as apparel goes, stickers, mugs. And Dad, you and I were talking about it, and we actually can get zip-up hoodies now. We're thinking about making some zip-up hoodies available to the audience. So if you guys are a hoodie person, but not really like a pullover hoodie, but a zip-up hoodie kind of person, we're going to have that available soon. And go ahead and check out our newest design on there, the Hammer Lane Gang. It's a great t-shirt.
Very cool.
We actually made it a hoodie as well too, so that's really cool. Go ahead and check it out. And until next week, keep the hammer down in the Hammer Lane.
doesn't buy me vitamins anymore. She's like, oh, I'll buy them for you next week.
She doesn't like you.
Apparently, she wants me to die. So she wants all my insurance money, 401k money, you know.
Okay, here we go. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am your host, Tony Merkel.
And I am Brian Merkel.
And we're really glad that you're here. If you have a crazy and wild experience you want to share from the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is
We're the Hammer Lane Legends in the Ukraine at the sheets. Just Facebook us or pull one of these tabs off with our phone number.
Don't worry about it. We'll talk to you.
Here's a flyer.
Just get a hold of the Hammer Lane Legends.
Take one of these envelopes. They're prepaid. Send it to this address with a dollar in it.
We'll send you the plan for your own podcast.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's thehammerlanelegends.com.
.com. That's a dot like a period. Com.
Rookies. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am your host, Tony Merkel.
And I am Brian Merkel.
And we're really glad that you're here.
That was off, wasn't it?
We're really glad you're here.
Where's the marathon?
I just want to get this freaking recording done.
It's like the 100th time.
You're talking like Usain Bolt's running. We're really glad you're here.
It's the Puerto Rican in me. It's like Machine Gun. You can call me Machine Gun Tony.
Oh, man.
Slow it down. Oh, slow it down. You're moving too fast for me. I almost forgot what show I was doing again. Like, I even said Hammer Lane Legends, but after I said it, I was thinking to myself, did I say Hammer Lane Legends or did I say the Confessionals? Like, I'm just, my brain is glitching right now. It's driving me nuts. Welcome to the show, everyone. I am your host, Tony Merkel.
And I'm your host, Brian Merkel. We are Hammer Lane Legends.
The Hammer Lane Legends. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am your host, Tony Merkel. Thank you for being...
I'm just blanking.
First day.
I'm just blanking. I just forgot about you.
This is like our first day. It's a startup. Don't worry about it, folks. We'll get back.
Freak!
Self.
It's like, I mean, who's the veteran podcaster here? I'm making all the mistakes. I'm not even getting to the point where you can even make a mistake. I'm not even giving you a chance to make a mistake.
I know my name.
That's all you need.
That's
apparently.
That's all I need.
I'm taking care of the rest.
I'm good. My whole part's good. I'm good. I'm really good.
Dang it.